Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rockin' Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The opener is here. Packers and Bears tonight. It's opening weekend of the NFL season. And just like a warm bowl of Brunswick stew to heat up your heart, get you ready for the cold weather down the road, we've got the NFL back with us. And one of the most interesting storylines of this offseason are the Cleveland Browns. What do the new Browns look like on the field? Favored by many to win the division for the first time in 30 years. Adding Odell Beckham in the offseason to a team that went 7-8-1 last year. You know the Browns are an interesting storyline when the number one team for CBS is on the call. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, week one of the NFL on CBS. Tennessee at Cleveland at the Dog Pound. It begins with that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. And Jim Nantz joins us this morning on the show. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. That was a perfect summation of why we're there and what's going on. The expectations, the excitement, all the hype and hysteria around the Browns. We're going to the Dog Pound to check it out to see what they've got, and I can't wait to see it.
With all due respect to the Browns, I never expected you guys, the number one team, to open up a season with the Cleveland Browns, but that just shows how much excitement there is. When you guys look at this matchup in this game of the new-look Browns opening up, what's the most interesting storyline to you going into Sunday?
Well, first off, let's not I know you're not, but this is something I think a lot of people could do, is overlook Tennessee coming in here. Everybody knows this is all about Cleveland from a national perspective, and this Titans bunch is not a bunch of pushovers. But as far as the top stories, what does Odell Beckham look like in a Browns uniform and in tandem with Baker Mayfield? What is that going to look like? You know, let's start there. What, like you said, what does this edition of the Browns look like, threatening to win a division for the first time in 30 years? What are they top to bottom? Because I happen to think they're pretty loaded. I actually went to their camp this year. I went to their first preseason game. And maybe they have a few concerns about the offensive line, but other than that, when you break down their roster and you look at their position groups, there aren't many weaknesses here. Running back, Nick Chubb, pretty darn good. Tight end, got a young kid, was a former first-round pick in Njoku. Wide receiver, beyond Beckham, Jarvis Landry, not bad. Baker Mayfield, yeah, he came in the second half last year, and all he did was win. Defensively, guys like Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon joining them. Their secondary, they've gone young in the draft the last couple of years. Greedy Williams joining them this year. Denzel Ward last year. They're loaded. I mean, they are loaded. What's it going to look like with the first-year coach, Freddie Kitchens? I actually think they're going to do well. I think that all this hype is not coming from them. It's coming from us. You know, we look at this roster and we say, man, they have a lot, they have a lot going on there. And can they handle the burden of all these expectations? I think because of Baker Mayfield and his attitude, I think they can.
Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach at any level, and so this is his first time swimming in this pool. Do you think his biggest challenge is handling the personalities within the locker room, or do you think it's the expectations from the outside?
I would tell you that I don't think he concerns himself with either one of those right now. All the noise from the outside, it has been there since he was named head coach. This is a guy that, you're right, he doesn't have the head coaching pedigree, but I'm not sure that's all that important. We'll see. We'll find out. And he's been on the sideline for a long time, and these players believe in him. And he has this aw shucks country boy kind of a attitude. You know, he's a three-year starter at quarterback for Alabama, so he's been in the fire before as a player long ago, I give you. But he has a way of disarming these kinds of things that we're talking about right now. He has that kind of whimsical, countryish style, but don't be fooled. This guy can lay down, drop the hammer pretty darn fast. I think he's going to be the right fit for them. I really do.
Jim Nantz is on the call for Titans and Browns coming up on Sunday with the NFL on CBS. Now, the favorite in the AFC is probably the Patriots. Patriots and Chiefs are 1-2 or 2-1. And I wonder how you view the Patriots year in, year out. I mean, at 42 years old, we shouldn't still be expecting Tom Brady to win Super Bowls, but that's how good he is. That's how good the Patriots organization is. It's a parlor game. It's a parlor game to kind of guess when they're going to fall off, when Brady's going to fall off. Do you go into every season just saying, you know, let's never expect it because it just doesn't happen? Or do you look for things that are telltale signs of that?
Look, I've done 100 New England games with Belichick and Brady as an AFC network, and they being our flagship team here for now 17 years in a row, or at least that long. I should almost take up residence up in Foxborough. I really should. But you look at a show last night that was on NFL Network. I just happened to be surfing, and I came across this show entitled by NFL Films, Do Your Job. And it was a behind-the-scenes look at last season's run with Belichick and McDaniels giving a lot of themselves to this show. And they cut it with play-by-play calls, analysts on the broadcast, whether it be Tony or other guys that were doing certain games and what they saw during live action. It had radio talk. It had studio shows. And I watched and I thought, oh, boy, there were some really big-name broadcasters who were on that documentary last night who were saying things like, it's over. The dynasty is done. This is the year. They can't beat Kansas City in Kansas City. I heard that later on from some very prominent voices. And I thought, man, how silly do they look now? You know, because people have been trying to be out in front of this for a long time, to be the first to tell you that the dynasty is over. And I'm telling you, I'm not going anywhere close to that. Not that I've gone down that road. I've not. But, I learned a long time ago, the great ones, you never doubt them, whether it be Belichick and Brady, or whether it be Tiger Woods in golf. I'm not going to tell you they're done until they tell you they're done.
Yeah, about a decade ago, I started thinking the dynasty was over, and that was about 10 years ago. So now I'm on the other side of it. I'll be the last one to say that the dynasty is done. I am banking on it never actually being done. But the question is, the Chiefs, do you think the Chiefs coming off of last year will be as dynamic, as thrilling, or is there naturally going to be kind of a comeback this season to the pack?
You know, you made a good point earlier. A lot of people are picking one of the two, and I always pay attention to that. I really do. I like to see what people see and handicap. I'm seeing more people pick Kansas City in the AFC Championship game over New England. First off, that would be a fantastic rematch if that unfolds. We do have that game on CBS in early December up in New England. But if they got to the AFC Championship game, again, wouldn't that be something? But I think, Kansas City, I'm anxious to see what this year looks like for them. I happen to think they're going to be great again. And LeSean McCoy, I think that's going to be one of the great pickups of the offseason. I mean, to see him cut one day and just a couple of hours later to be reunited with Coach Reed, And that backfield now with Damian Williams and this Darwin Thompson, this rookie everybody's been talking about in fantasy football, they've got the speed. They drafted this, you know, this kid Hardman, the wide receiver, in the second round. I think they're going to be just outstanding again.
Week one of the NFL on CBS featuring some big matchups highlighted by the Titans and the Browns. Catch all of the action this Sunday, starting with that other pregame show, CBS Sports Network at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And then followed by the NFL Today on CBS at noon. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo is going to be in Cleveland for Titans and Browns. Jim, this
here
was
we
a
come.
Yeah, there you go. Have a
I'm
lot of fun.
At the airport right now, actually. So flying from California to Ohio. Here we come. Let's get this thing going.
Let's do it. Jim, thanks so much for the time today. Thanks
great
so much.
To be with you guys.
You too.
All the best. Enjoy the season.
Okay, you too. Jim Nantz joining us this morning on the show. You know, when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, I understand the hype, and I think some of this, maybe a lot of this, is fueled by the city. You know, had the Cleveland Browns been the Arizona Cardinals, just flip those two around, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, or just a city we don't normally associate with the tradition of the NFL, with a long, tortured fan base, with a city that lives and dies with its football team and has for 50 or 60 years. I don't know if the Browns would still have the same panache, the same interest level, the same sexiness. I mean, there is something here about the Browns because it's Cleveland. Certainly, you add Odell to a team with Baker Mayfield, and that's two of the biggest personalities in the NFL. But there is something about this kind of Shakespearean tragedy that Browns fans have dealt with for decades, that they have always been some of the most passionate, some of the most loyal, some of the most amazing fans. And you have the fumble, and you have the drive, and you have the move. And you have now 20 years of the new Browns being disgracefully bad. And it all kind of gets into this pressurized pack of, is this the year not only are they good, but are they great? Are they great? I mean, you have people saying they're going to win the division. And if they win the division, that's a home playoff game. And people saying that they should go to the Super Bowl. And I think it's too much too soon for the Browns. And I think we should focus on whether they can get good first and then great. And I think people talking about winning the division, 11-5, Super Bowl contenders, whoa. Let's see them have a winning season, okay? Let's first get to winning season with this team. 2 years ago, they were winless. I think this year, and this isn't sexy, this isn't a hot take, and this is why, you know, it won't get any attention. But my thought is the Browns could be 9-7 this year, or even 8-8, but 9-7, and that would be a really good step forward, and they could be much improved over last season. But people don't want to hear that because that's not sexy, that's not interesting, and that's not necessarily going to be this kind of emotional upheaval that Cleveland has been desperate for. 11-5, winning playoff games. I'm not there with this team yet. I'm not there. There's a lot of growth that goes into a franchise that has been bad for a long time and now is suddenly expected to be good. Expectations are important. Expectations can be heavy. Odell, Jarvis, Baker, Kitchens, these are all question marks. All of them in a division that, by the way, the Steelers are still going to be good and the Ravens are still going to be good. Not easy games there. The Browns are super interesting. Don't get me wrong. And I get why Nantz and Romo are on a Browns game. I never thought I'd say the Browns got the Nantz and Romo treatment because of the Browns, not because they were playing the Patriots or playing the Steelers or somebody. They got this broadcast team because they're the Browns, which is a significant measuring stick already, but I think that before we crown the Browns division champs or Super Bowl contenders, let's see if they're winners first. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I want to jump into your phone calls because a lot of you guys want to weigh in on the Browns. We'll do that coming up next. Also, speaking of Cleveland, they've decided to make their Color Rush uniforms their primary uniforms. The first time this has ever happened for any NFL team. Thumbs up or thumbs down around here. We'll give you our fashion sense next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Here we go, DA. You're mad cool. Actually, I'm going to have a career in radio broadcasting myself.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Sunday morning football returns this weekend. And it's 1 hour later than ever, which is better than ever, which means it's 10 until noon Eastern time, where we will have instantaneous reaction early in the morning to what happened. Clemson and Texas A&M, Texas and LSU, two huge games on Saturday. And I'll have a chance to really sink my teeth into them coming up on Sunday morning football. And those are big teeth. That is 10 a.m. until noon Eastern time. 10 a.m. until noon Eastern time, running into your NFL pregame shows, including here on CBS Sports Radio. And that is available all places the DA show is heard. The Browns have decided to make their Color Rush uniforms their primary uniforms. They wore these, you might remember, in that comeback victory over the Jets last year on Thursday night, which might have been kind of the symbol of the turning of the page for the Browns organization. Baker Mayfield came into that game and helped lead a comeback win over the Jets. Mayfield, of course, started the rest of the season, and they went 7-8-1. Now, no team has ever done this. The Color Rush uniforms are largely trash. They're just generally garbage. They're awful. They're ugly. For the Browns, they're the first team ever to make their Color Rush uniforms their primary uniforms. Now, these unis are the ones that are brown jerseys with orange numbers, orange letters for the name on the back, and three orange stripes on their sleeves. Brown pants as well. So brown jerseys, brown pants with two orange stripes down the side of their pants. Brown socks. I always hate the Color Rush uniforms. I think they're all just terribly stupid. I think they were all cooked up, half-baked by a bunch of would-be, wannabe fashionistas in Eugene, Oregon, that have no sense of NFL tradition, no sense of what the other fan bases in the other cities actually care about. You got a bunch of kids, probably millennials, that just graduated fashion school that come out and think that they want to be on the runway and say, well, why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? This is bold. And then they make up dumb definitions of the colors that they use and the swooshes and the blocking and the numbers. And you just roll your eyes and go, none of this makes sense. And you reverse engineered all of this. You came up with a design that you wanted and then defined it like you had thought about it in the past, and you didn't. But this is the right move. It's the right move because all of the other Browns uniforms suck so bad. See, the problem was Nike overtook the Browns uniforms and made them suck. Oh no, they suck again. The Browns uniforms used to be great. Orange helmet, white tops, white pants. Sometimes brown pants. That was it. It was clean. It was simple. Forever, the Browns played in all white. They never wore their brown jerseys. That was a relic of the past. White, that was an orange helmet, white, white. And they looked great. Like the Bernie Kosar years were beautiful. And then they would work in a brown home jersey at times, and that looked great as well. Orange helmet, brown jersey, white pants. And that's the way it was forever. And we liked it. And then Nike came in and said, we're going to rebrand the Browns. We want to make them fresh and modern and new. And what they didn't realize was the Browns aren't supposed to be fresh, modern, and new. They're supposed to be old. They got no logo.
They are so old, they have no logo. The Browns are so traditional, they got nothing on their helmet. They're not supposed to be modernized, you dolts. But instead, they wanted to print Browns. It says Browns on their pants. What is this? Even high school teams don't have their team name on their pants. The shadows, the blocking on the numbers, hard to read, ugly, 3D, stupid. Just totally stupid. Nike screwed them up. Their color rush uniforms are the closest thing to the traditional uniforms. And by the way, this is Fashion Week here in New York City, so we're allowed to do this segment. The color rush uniforms have no white in them. No white outline on the numbers. No white stripes on the pants. No browns written on the pants. And so these are the best options. The better option here would be those jerseys, brown jerseys, orange numbers, no white, no trim, and white pants. That would be the best option. But because that's not an option, apparently, fine. Brown and brown. This is the best Browns option. And I get it. You're trying to turn the page a little bit on the old sad sack Browns. But this is the sin. This is their best option because Nike screwed up the old ones. And by the way, could the Buccaneers look worse? Could the Buccaneers look worse? That is a Nike rebrand. Tom Coughlin took over the Jaguars and realized Nike made us look like clowns. Let's go back to a bit of a more traditional look. Everyone is going to realize Nike screwed everything up. We look like bozos. We look like an eighth grade project in home ec class. And we all need to get a little bit more traditional here. Because Nike screwed it all up. All of it. Whereas you on board with the Color Rush Browns unis?
No, I'm not. Even if they stuck with the stupid, foolish other ones, at least give me orange pants, the brown tops. I know they were ridiculous, but we're not going to go back to
them. They were ridiculous.
But the brown on brown looks ridiculous, too. This is the biggest sin. You finally have talent. You are loaded with talent, and you're going to come out looking like an overdone piece of grilled chicken every day with that brown. It's disgusting. Get it out.
But it's better than the
orange.
No, it's
not.
It's better than the way that they made the orange so red.
I agree. But the helmet looks like that, too. At least match the helmet with the pants, as ugly as it looks. But be who you are. The biggest problem is the Bucs won a Super Bowl not looking like the creamsicles, and we have to live with that being the memory. That's not the real Bucs. If the Browns are really going to be good and capture this, we want the good Browns memories to be in these uniforms? Heck no. I want the Browns uniforms the old way.
I agree, but we can't go back to the old way, which was the right way. The old way is the new way, and the new way stinks.
We should be able to go to the old way, which became the new way, and then was the old way again.
I know, but Nike screwed it all up. They made the NFL look like a clown show. It is a three-ring circus out there every time Nike gets its wish.
The Browns can never hoist a Lombardi wearing these uniforms, because that will be what gets remembered forever, and that's a problem.
I think we have to just hope that when the Browns finally do win a Super Bowl, it's when they've gone back after the five-year window. You have to keep the redesigns for 5 years. You can't change uniforms.
This could be different because it's technically already a design that they had.
No, they can't go back on their previous design. On this latest Nike iteration, I think until next year, which is the one with the Browns down
right.
their pants.
My point is this doesn't start the clock on 5
Correct.
Years.
That's right. Yes. So we can't have them win a Super Bowl this year with these. They've got to win a Super Bowl next year or in future years where they can finally go back to real uniforms.
This is why you root for the Patriots. It's why you have to.
Don't ever say that. Not in my presence. Don't ever say that. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Jared's in Indiana listening on Alexa to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jared.
Hi, D.A. I was just wondering about your question. Not question, sorry, but the Browns uniforms were mainly designed as kind of a rebrand of the team, and I think most of the Color Rush uniforms for the NFL were designed as most of a spinoff of, like, the Thursday Night Football when the games weren't very good, so they wanted to have a reason to turn on the TV.
Well, yes, I think the Color Rush in general has been they wanted a reason to hype up a matchup that was trash. But for the Browns, here's the problem. trash uniforms actually are their best option at uniform. So this is the right move because Nike made them all trash. John's in Houston, CBS Sports Radio 650. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Didier. First of all, kudos to Andrew Bogish for pronouncing those tennis names perfectly. He must be bleary-eyed from cramming all night to study those names. But anyway, I mainly wanted to comment on the Browns. I think the real test for them will be when things don't go well. They have some missed passes, a couple of losses in a row, criticizing the coach, things like that. So I think that's when the real test will be for the Browns.
I think that test comes very early because the Titans are no pushover, no slouch. If Tennessee wins on Sunday and there's a clock mismanagement, Odell doesn't get enough touches, Baker Mayfield throws a bad interception, suddenly the questions begin because there's such hype. And I think Freddie Kitchens is in for a long season. I don't think he's going to end up splashing onto the scene as a first-time head coach with all these expectations. Can't be flawless. I think there's going to be some rocky, choppy waters for Freddie. And I would love to give Andrew Bogish a lot of kudos here because I've often said that he's the best update anchor we have on CBS Sports Radio. But unfortunately, I can't. And that's because yesterday on the PGP, Side B, he and Mraz decided to air all of their dirty laundry, their bubbling resentment for me. Now, they called me out for taking bows, they said, for doing a six-day work week. They also called me out for being in the wrong seats at a Mets game when I was in the right seats, but we had one seat that had been cleaned off, dried for six innings before anybody showed up. Then that person gave me two, saying, these are my seats. I said, well, you haven't been here for six innings. I'm glad to move out, but you can't give me attitude because you haven't been here for 2.5 hours. Bogish called me out for that. Bogish has called me out for my lack of work ethic. He has called me out for my short work days. And I just want this on record because I found this to be factually inaccurate. There was a never-released podcast called Around the Dial that I had been working on for the last eight months.
We're playing this card.
8 months.
That
kept me around here, I would say, 2 hours minimum after the show. And Bogus should know this because he also hosted it at times. Also, this show, unlike other shows, has its production done by its host, not its producer. But when you hear Dave Friedman, Super Dave, come on, that production was done with me. I pulled the clips, and I wrote the script, and I worked with production. And when we go through all the audio that we use, like rejoins and things like that, that's done by me. And that's because I stay after to do it because the producer won't.
Whoa, I won't? Or I have been assigned to another show locally. I used to stay after all the time before that.
Is that right? And did you ever?
Yes.
Did you ever do production?
Oh, all the time.
No.
And then you didn't like my production. You liked yours better, so you started doing it.
And the rejoins, were they ever done by you even before you had the show?
No, the board op did that. So where's the blame on Pete for that?
All I'm saying is that I, unlike any other host of the station, cut audio, write script, do production, pull audio constantly. So the idea that I'm out the door as soon as the show is over, combined with 8 months of a godforsaken podcast that was never released that ended up taking 2 hours of my day every single day, that is an unfair and factually incorrect statement that both you guys foisted upon the American public.
I just want to play back an exact quote from DA last week because we had started taping the PGP about a half an hour after the show when he was doing Around the Dial, and I do a pre-production meeting my next show, and I asked DA, you know, okay, with the PGP, he said, I'd like to do it right after the show since I don't have to stay longer anymore, and we had to make sure it was all done so he could tidy up and leave here by 12:30.
Now, was that the day that I happened to go to the NFL Network event so that we had a representative at
Johnny.
An NFL Network event.
Something was I that, coordinated?
Was that the day that, yes, you put me at an event that you certainly could have been at, but you placed me there?
I could not have been there because I was working a 12-hour day till 6:30 p.m. that day.
I don't appreciate the idea that, like many hosts, moment that the show is over, I'm out the door.
No.
Both of you guys know that's not true.
Well,
you acted like that on the podcast.
Time out.
It's one thing to take shots. That's fine. It's another thing to be factually inaccurate with said shots.
You absolutely do more work than any host I've ever seen audio editing wise.
Agreed.
The idea you are here as many hours as any of us is laughable, though.
Not my argument. Not my point. You guys acted on the podcast yesterday like the moment this show is over, I'm out the door. And that has never been the case because I do your job, Mraz. And if anybody should be appreciative that I protect you from flack consistently, you know what the other hosts do? They just say, hey, producer, make this. This done.
I'm thankful for that. I also, factually, if we're going to be factual, said you work 4.5 hours a day. That is factual. A half an hour before the show you arrive, you stay an hour after the show and get all that work done in 4.5 hours.
That's not true. None of that is true. Okay. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
You know what? Let's get Kaplan to follow you around with a camera and we'll clock you in and out.
Oh, that's a really good idea
because who
has worked with Kaplan incessantly since the day we took over to get Watch DA up? Was that you? Was that you that worked with graphics? Was that you that worked with camera work? Was that you that worked with all of the editing that goes into that? Or was that me and Kaplan that spent hours every day putting this together?
Yeah, Sean, who was that?
It was definitely DA, and thank goodness for it, because he would be way better at it for me. I have no doubt you work hard.
It's just condensed.
Yes.
Condensed?
You're like the NFL Game Pass.
That's right. You take out the commercials.
You guys were outrageous. Truly outrageous.
That's outrageous.
Truly, truly outrageous.
Now, wait a minute.
When we come back here on the show.
If we come back.
A guy that knows all about work ethic. Super Dave Friedman, because he is nose to the grindstone of these picks. And he went 3-0 last week. And he is shining where Huge Freeze could not. Super Dave's college football picks are next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
DA, first of all, let me just say, you're my absolute favorite show. I listen to them all, but you're the absolute best, my friend.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, that's so kind.
That's very good, Damon.
46 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next hour here on the show, we'll talk about the NFC North race this season because the Packers and the Bears play tonight to open up the NFL, which will be a first in a long line of some big games between those four teams. We'll talk about the NFC North also, that the DA show is available on YouTube. Every single day you can watch the best of the show on YouTube, so go there for the best rants, the best segments, the best bits. Every single day, YouTube, just search CBS Sports Radio or The DA Show. Last year, our college football picks were manned by a guy that didn't know college football, apparently. Huge Freeze. Now, he was a great singer, great lounge singer, but his football picking was a disgrace. And so this year, we decided, you know what? Let's up the acumen for the college football picks. And that's how we got to our friend, Super Dave!
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
We know Mraz has a big mouth to fill, and hopefully we are going to quiet that down this season. And oh, by the way, Florida State's been bad the last couple of years. What makes him such a genius?
With your weekly college football picks.
The line is what the line is. Why would they not play well in this game? This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave went 3-0 last week, a perfect week number one, and he joins us once again this morning for his pick. Super Dave, congratulations on week number one. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, Damon. I probably should have retired after week one. You can't do much better than unbeaten, but since we didn't each put hundreds of thousands on those three picks, we have to hack it again this week.
Last week, you were all over Boise State. You knew it was a coaching mismatch. You liked their young quarterback, and that was also going against Willie Taggart, and that looks like very, very prescient because he looked like a disaster this week and explaining it with dehydration. You're going back to the well with Florida State. FSU is at home this weekend. They take on Louisiana Monroe. FSU is a 3-touchdown favorite in this game on Saturday, and it's going to be 99 degrees at kickoff. What are you looking at here with FSU laying 21?
One of my favorite angles is week 2 and week 3 in both the NFL and college football. Take the teams that looked bad early on, because the public jumps off of them for a week or two. All they hear in the media is how bad they are, how embarrassing they are. You're going to get an A effort. And Florida State is playing the team picked to finish third in the Sun Belt West this year. This is a Louisiana Monroe squad that played very well in a 31-9 win over Grambling, but the last 3 years they're 6-6, 4-8, 4-8, and beating Grambling is, you know, not great. It doesn't give you a whole lot. Their veteran quarterback Caleb Evans, 38 career touchdown passes, 25 career interceptions, and the reason Florida State lost to Boise State is very, very simple. Boise State's offense was on the field for 40 minutes and 108 plays. Louisiana Monroe doesn't have Hank Bachmeier, one of the top quarterback recruits in the country. They're angry. They're mad. They're playing Louisiana Monroe, the third place pick in the Sun Belt West. I think Florida State beats them early and often.
Your second pick is App State and Charlotte, another big line. This one is in Boone, North Carolina, home of App State, and they are a 21.5 point favorite. Where do you lean on this one?
I don't love laying huge points, and this week I am with the favorites, which is not a great spot to be by and large, but App State has a tremendous program. And yes, Scott Satterfield is now the coach at Louisville, but this is an App State team that went 11-2 last year, 9-4 the previous year, won 10 games in 2016, 11 in 2015. They returned 20 starters, including a veteran quarterback. Both of these teams have new coaches, 34-year-old Will Healy at the helm of Charlotte, 36-year-old Isaiah Drinkwitz at the helm of App State. These teams played last year in Charlotte. App State 45, Charlotte 9. What is going to be the dramatic difference this year? Both of these teams beat 1AA competition in the opener. Charlotte threw 3 interceptions in that opener. They struggled on special teams. Gardner Webb returned a kick 99 yards for a touchdown. Charlotte is picked to finish 7th in the Conference USA East. They have one really good offensive player, their running back, Benny LeMay. Pretty easy for App State to simply sit on that run game, force them to pass the football. And App State at home, it is a great environment. They kill Charlotte when it comes to recruiting in Charlotte. Remember, this is a Charlotte program that just started in 2013. They're 23-48 in program history. App State is way too good at virtually every position on the field.
Super Dave, also the host of the Bearded Carcast, joining us here for his college football picks. And finally, the third pick is in the ACC. We had Mack Brown get win number one last week and over Will Muschamp in South Carolina. This week, he's actually hosting Miami, but the Hurricanes are the favorite. Canes are laying 4 in this game, and you said you're with the favorite, so you're with the Canes?
I am with the Canes. This is another angle I really like early in the year. Miami has a first-year head coach in Manny Diaz, and their effort against Florida, they lost 24-20, but as our friend Pat Forty at Yahoo Sports wrote, it was ugly for everyone. Florida looked bad. Miami looked bad. It was kind of an advertisement for why we shouldn't have that week 0. But now you get a week off. So Miami had essentially a week 1 bye after playing in week 0. That means they spent a week working on themselves, looking at that Florida tape, getting better in all those little areas, not just the players, but the coach who was coaching his first ever game as a head coach. Meanwhile, all of the effort North Carolina was putting forth was towards South Carolina. They have to take their NCAA mandated day off on Sunday. Monday, they're going back and watching tape. They're not into their preparation for Miami until really Tuesday. Miami is way past that. They're way further ahead. Oh, by the way, these teams played last year. Miami 47
and North Carolina 10. Mack Brown taking over a team that went 2-9. Terrific win. They came from behind. They beat South Carolina. South Carolina picked to finish fourth in the SEC East. Miami's loss against Florida, that's the team picked to finish second in that same SEC East. I just think Miami is drastically more talented, and they have that extra week off.
Bearded CarCast host Dave Friedman, he's also the voice of the Winthrop Eagles basketball squad. They take road trips, they eat cool lunches, then they talk about it. So check that out. All places podcasts are available. And through your adventures on the road to the Bearded CarCast, Dave, I think we got to figure out something on the line between you and Mraz. We're going out to break now, but for next week, we have to decide what's on the line this year between the two of your picks.
I like it. Let's figure something out, and we'll make it interesting.
Dave Friedman, Super Dave, with your picks. It's Florida State laying 21, App State favored by 21.5, and Miami favored by 4. That's the way we do it every single week. Mraz will have his NFL picks tomorrow when we come back. Huge one tonight in the Packers and Bears in the NFC North. If there can be a huge game in week number one, is the NFC North actually ripe for an underdog? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.